More and more people are adopting gluten-free diets, whether it's due to a sensitivity to gluten, general health reasons, or because they have celiac disease. Are you among them? Well, we hope to hear your story and your questions for our guest, who is an advocate for celiac disease awareness. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, January 30th. Our interest was prompted by the growing number of gluten-free products that we can find at the grocery store or different restaurants, the growing number of people who are eliminating gluten from their diets, and we saw an article in the Daily Beast this week saying some are joining the trend, maybe for the wrong reasons. Well, our guest this hour says about 3 million people in the U.S. have been diagnosed with celiac disease, which is an autoimmune disorder triggered by consuming gluten, which is found in wheat and barley and rye. But she says 95% of the people with celiac disease remain undiagnosed or misdiagnosed. So we thought we would find out all we can about celiac disease. And we'll welcome your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Alice Bast, founder and president of the National Foundation for Celiac Awareness, a national nonprofit organization dedicated to increasing diagnoses of celiac disease and other gluten-related disorders and improving the quality of life for those on a lifelong gluten-free diet. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thank you so much for being with us. So I mentioned a little bit about celiac disease, but talk a little bit more about it. What is it and how do we get this?
Sure, Joy. You did a great job. Celiac disease is an autoimmune digestive disease that damages the villi in the small intestine and interferes with the absorption of nutrients from food. So that means that when someone with celiac consumes wheat, rye, or barley, their villi in their small intestine are damaged, then they don't absorb their nutrients, and their body starts to attack itself. So it sets off this autoimmune reaction. And there are over 300 symptoms of celiac disease, and they are not all related to the digestive system, and that's why we have a symptom checklist online at celiaccentral.org so people can complete the symptom checklist and then ask their doctor to test them. You know, the first step is a blood test to test for celiac disease.
Well, you say there are 300 symptoms, but what are some of the key symptoms?
Some of the key symptoms are ones that you would think of, like bloating, gas, abdominal pain. It could be really, you know, something like constipation, diarrhea, but it also presents itself in fatigue. It can be fatigue or an itchy skin rash. And one of the symptoms that people may not think about is infertility, or in myself, I have celiac disease. Unfortunately, I had a full-term stillbirth, 3 miscarriages, and a 2-pound baby, lost 25 pounds before I was properly diagnosed. So whatever the symptom was, I was treated for that symptom. So I had migraine headaches, and I was treated with medication for migraine headaches, which is Imitrex. But some people, as I was saying, there's about half the people with undiagnosed celiac disease really don't have, you know, they can feel that general malaise, you know, fatigue. They can have tingling in their fingers and toes. They really, you know, they may not have the digestive symptoms.
Yeah, well, I'm so sorry for the tragedy you've gone through. What are some of the other, I guess, consequences of untreated celiac disease?
Joy, that's a great question, because what many people don't realize with this rise in so many people consuming gluten-free products, people in your service in the restaurants and such may not realize that it's really important that you're not cross-contaminated, because continuing to ingest gluten or not getting diagnosed does lead to things like non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, so that's cancer, osteoporosis, severe anemia. And so it can lead to things that you do really need to be taken seriously. A lot of people get depression. They have severe depression. But again, it can even lead to cancer. intestinal cancers.
So this is an autoimmune disorder. Is it inherited?
It is inherited. So just like something, you know, like lupus or MS, it is an autoimmune disorder that is inherited. And so when someone with celiac disease gets diagnosed, their entire family needs to be tested because there's a much greater chance that family members might have celiac disease as well. Now, 30 to 40% of the population, believe it or not, has the gene for celiac disease, so it's a very common gene, but only 1 to 2% of the population will express that gene, which means we'll get the active disease.
Mm-hmm. And the only treatment is avoidance of gluten entirely for your entire life.
The only treatment, you're right, Joy, is avoidance of gluten, which is wheat, rye, and barley, and any derivatives of these grains. Now, when we say, okay, well, what does that mean? You know, what does it mean, avoidance of wheat, rye, and barley? Well, you think of just walking, you know, walking into a school cafeteria or, you know, for a breakfast meeting, and what do you see in front of you? You see pasta, you see, you know, potentially, you know, bread products. What people may not think about that also can have derivatives that of wheat, rye, and barley because it can hide is there can be barley in tea. There's wheat in licorice. There, soy sauce most often is made out of wheat and is not made out of soy. So many, many of the products that we consume on a daily basis have wheat, rye, or barley in them. And oats can be cross-contaminated, so people do have to make sure that the oats that they're eating are pure, they're certified, and they're not cross-contaminated.
How difficult is it to avoid gluten?
Well, it's gotten a lot easier. We've been working on this for the past 10 years, Joy, to make it easier. You know, when I first started the National Foundation for Celiac Awareness, we actually couldn't go to the grocery store and find lots of products that are labeled gluten-free. So I have to say, in 10-year period of time, it's been a world of difference. You know, people can actually go to their local supermarket. There's more affordability. But as you can imagine, every time you put food into your mouth, you have to worry about whether or not, you know, it contains gluten or it's been cross-contaminated. So if you picture, you know, somebody sticks a knife into a jar of peanut butter, and then they put the knife on the bread, and then they put the knife back in the jar of peanut butter, that jar is now cross-contaminated. So there really is a learning process along with getting diagnosed with celiac disease, and it's important that that person, when they're diagnosed, see a dietitian to help guide them through what it takes to lead a gluten-free lifestyle. And, of course, at celiaccentral.org, we have lots of free information. Everything is free. So there are webinars. Last week we had a webinar on understanding about beer, because most beer is brewed with barley. So you cannot just go out and have beer. And people, most often, when they're going to cheat on something, they're going to cheat on some of the comfort foods, or they might cheat on something like beer. So we really try to teach folks how they can live a gluten-free lifestyle. It's gotten much better, but it's hiding out there, and you can pull gluten-free products off the supermarket shelves, but when you go out to eat in a restaurant, you really have to be extremely careful and cautious.
Well, you know, we'll talk more about that as we go along. Seems to me that one of the Wisconsin microbreweries just recently introduced a gluten-free beer. You make that with rice or something then?
Well, there's different ways to brew beer, and it's pretty, you know, I have to laugh because it's, you know, it's one, you know, again, it's many of the microbreweries have taken on making a gluten-free beer, which is really, really wonderful. Most oftentimes, it's made with sorghum.
Sorghum.
And sometimes it's made with honey. And so it is made with, you know, with other grains. And there are lots of grains that are naturally gluten-free that people, you know, maybe 10 years ago were not consuming, you know, the word, you know, people never even heard of the word quinoa. And now, you know, there's a lot of, you know, if you look at restaurants, the menus, and you'll see, you know, quinoa in the grocery stores, you'll see it, you know, on restaurant menus. It is a gluten-free, it is a naturally gluten-free grain. And there's, you know, all kinds of rice alternatives. So there are grains that are naturally gluten-free that you can substitute for, you know, the traditional wheat.
Courtney on Facebook writes, my husband has celiac disease. The high costs and small volume of gluten-free items is frustrating. For example, gluten-free Bisquick has been a lifesaver, but a tiny box costs nearly $5, and it contains much less of its gluten, much less than its gluten-containing counterpart. His diagnosis definitely has hurt our pocketbook. Will these costs ever come down?
Joy, that's one of the number one questions we get, is people want to know about, they ask about the health and they ask about the cost. And we've, at the National Foundation for Celiac Awareness, that's one of the reasons why we try to work with the grocery, chains, because we really want to have competition in the marketplace, and we want to have what we call sell-through of products. So we really want as many people, you know, diagnosed and buying gluten-free products as possible. So some of those big box chains, such as the Walmarts of the world, the Costco's, the Sam's Club, are carrying gluten-free products, and we are seeing the prices of the products coming down, but they are still costlier than gluten-containing products. We're working on it. We work on that on a daily basis.
We are talking about celiac disease and how people with celiac disease have to avoid gluten, and talking with our guest about how we can improve the quality of life for those on a lifelong gluten-free diet. And we're welcoming your questions for her and your experiences. Are you on a gluten-free diet? Do you have celiac disease? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Checking our weather forecast for today, heavy snow and windy at times. Most of Wisconsin is under winter storm warnings and advisories. There is a swath running from southwest Wisconsin through northeast Wisconsin that is likely to get the most snow. Falling temperatures as well. Snowy and windy tonight with lows around zero, and cloudy and very cold tomorrow with a chance of more snow. Highs tomorrow mainly in the teens. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up in our big question debate after 7 o'clock, we will wonder which approach you favor when it comes to immigration reform. That's coming up in our big question after 7 o'clock. Right now we are talking about celiac disease. Our guest this hour says about 3 million people in the U.S. have been diagnosed with celiac disease, which is an autoimmune disorder triggered by consuming gluten, which is found in wheat, barley, and rye. But she says a lot of people, 95% of the people with celiac disease, remain undiagnosed or misdiagnosed. And I'm wondering, Alice, is that changing at all? Are doctors doing a better job of finding people who have celiac disease?
Joy, yes, doctors are doing a better job, and we're the number of people now that are not diagnosed with celiac disease has dropped to about 83%. So about 83% of the population is still undiagnosed. So we've moved that needle.
Good.
And one of the wonderful things is there's at celiaccentral.org, we have a free continuing medical education program for physicians. So they can go online and get educated about learning about the signs and symptoms of celiac disease. But again, you know, what we like to do is empower patients to say, you know what, go to the symptom checklist, look at those symptoms, and if you're feeling, you know, if you have any one of those symptoms, ask your doctor to test you for celiac disease, and the first step is a blood test.
And, well, we have a caller who wants to ask about that. John in Madison. Hi, John.
Hi. Well, once upon a time, I thought I had celiac disease, and they did a small bowel biopsy, and it wasn't that, but I do have a reaction to wheat products. I swell up, and I have malabsorption from another cause. But the point was the diagnosis was clinched as to a negative by me having the small bowel biopsy. Can someone that has symptoms when they eat wheat products now be diagnosed solely by a blood test, or is it still necessary to see the small bowel effects after they've ingested gluten? And the other thing is, I think you ought to tell the people what gluten does to somebody's small bowel if they're allergic to it.
Sure. Well, first of all, you're right. The first test is a blood test. So it's really important for the person to be eating a normal diet, a gluten-containing diet, before being tested for celiac disease. And then if the blood test indicates celiac, then the physician will suggest a biopsy of the lining of the small intestine called an endoscopy to confirm the diagnosis. And so it is a two-step process. So most likely, let's say your primary care physician will run the blood test, will refer you to a gastroenterologist, and then that GI physician will do that, will do the biopsy of the lining in the small intestine to confirm that diagnosis. Now, it sounds like in your case, you might also, then what happens is if the person comes back negative and they are having symptoms, they continue to have the symptoms, and they can be the same symptoms as somebody with celiac disease and just as severe, they may then come back and diagnose you with something called non-celiac gluten sensitivity. And whereas celiac disease is a genetic autoimmune disease that damages the small intestine and interferes with the absorption of the nutrients when you consume gluten, non-celiac gluten sensitivity is a non-specific immune response that has been clinically recognized as less severe than celiac, but it's still accompanied by the same symptoms. And when the person takes, and it causes that inflammation, so when the person takes the gluten out of their diet, if they're a non-celiac gluten-sensitive person, they find relief. So you, in your case, you might have, in addition to other issues, you may have non-celiac gluten sensitivity if when you cut the gluten out of your diet, you are, you know, feeling better. And it's very important to ensure that when you if you have celiac disease, if you keep eating that gluten, again, you are damaging all that villi in that small intestine that flattens that villi, causes inflammation, which then can lead to, you know, dire health consequences such as, you know, all kinds of irritable bowel kind of symptoms, and also can lead to things like other autoimmune diseases and cancer.
Thank you, John, for the call, and good luck to you. Next we go to Justin in Menasha. Hi, Justin.
Hi there. How's it going tonight?
Good. I understand that you were tested for celiac disease.
Yes, I have. I have not even received the results yet, but just given by all the different symptoms that you've explained, I kind of just feel like that I have it. I feel like they're going to tell me that I have some type of relation to gluten sensitivity of some kind, like you've explained. Because I've been getting the toes, the sensitive, the tingly toes, and just all the other symptoms that you explained really. Fatigue, and then especially when I eat a meal filled with gluten, it's, you know, lots of bread and lots of like pasta. I'll notice those exact things, the symptoms that you were saying. And
yeah, so you're just waiting to see what the test shows, Justin.
Yes.
All right. Well, any comment, Alice?
Hi. Well, Justin, it sounds like your doctor really knows what he or she is doing, because they have you on a very gluten-filled diet, and that shows, you know, when you get that blood test, that will you know, they'll be able to properly diagnose you, because the first step, again, is ensuring that you run the blood test, and you have to be eating gluten. And then, you know, I want you to know, I had that tingling or numbness in my hands and feet, and when I went on the gluten-free diet, again, you got to stay on a gluten-containing diet, because they're going to want you to, most likely, to do an endoscopy. Those all went away. I don't have any tingling or numbness in my hands or in feet anymore. And most people, you know, will start to, you know, symptoms that you didn't even know that you had, you know, when you think about it, and you're just so used to that, used to the lifestyle where you're feeling tired or having all these kind of aches and pains, they go away, and it's really pretty wonderful. So I wish you, you know, lots of luck. And again, www.celiaccentral.org, we have, once you, you know, get diagnosed and you need to get, you know, information, there's all kinds, there's new patient packages. Our upcoming webinar is going to be on, believe it or not, sex and the celiac, but it's going to focus on reproductive health issues, and that's on February 20th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 7:30 p.m. Central.
All right, Justin, thank you for the call. You know, my niece, this was many years ago, did have a blood test to see if she had celiac disease. She was experiencing some symptoms that were related. And if I remember correctly, there was a marker that indicated that maybe, it was like a maybe, but I don't think my sister ever pursued it beyond that. Are there different markers that are supposed to say, yes, you know, you probably have it?
Joy, that's another wonderful question. Most likely, they did the gene test. So they looked to see if there's genes involved with celiac disease, and, you know, looked to see if she had the gene. And so 30 to 40% of the population has that gene. So what that does is you can rule people out, saying, okay, you don't have the gene.
Oh.
You don't have celiac disease. So, for example, if I take my two kids as examples, one of my children has the gene, one doesn't. So when my one had some stomach issues and things, and we had her tested, she doesn't have the gene. So we ruled out celiac disease.
We're going to check news, and then we'll be back talking more about celiac disease and gluten intolerance. And welcome more of your questions for our guest, who is with the National Foundation for Celiac Awareness. More and more people are adopting gluten-free diets, and more stores and restaurants are offering gluten-free foods. We are talking with an advocate for celiac disease awareness about what the disease is, how to adopt a gluten-free diet, and some of the potential health benefits. And we're welcoming your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It is coming up on 6:37 on this Wednesday, January 30th. Have you been diagnosed with celiac disease? How has it changed your life? Do you eat a gluten-free diet? Why and how has it changed your health? We welcome your input as we talk with Alice Bast, who is founder and president of the National Foundation for Celiac Awareness, a national nonprofit organization dedicated to increasing diagnoses of celiac disease and other gluten-related disorders, also in improving the quality of life for those on a lifelong gluten-free diet. And Alice, let's start this segment with a comment from Facebook. Michael writes, I was diagnosed with celiac disease a couple of years ago, and giving up wheat isn't the hardest part of living with the disease. The worst part is how difficult it makes social dining. Going to lunch and dinner with friends, family, and coworkers becomes a nightmare. They either have to eat where you know you can safely eat, or you have to risk being exposed. Sometimes it's just easier to eat alone. Do you have any words of encouragement for Michael?
Joy, we hear that a lot. And Michael, we're really trying to work on ensuring that restaurants and schools and universities have protocols in place to accommodate those with celiac disease. We have a training program called GREAT, which stands for Gluten-Free Resource Education and Awareness Training. And the protocols can be put in place just like anti-salmonella protocols or somebody, you know, going kosher. So those symptoms, the color coding and ensuring that there isn't what he's worried about, the cross-contamination, so that he will be able to dine out with his colleagues and friends. We hear this a lot in college as well. Just imagine being on the food service, you know, you're on the meal plan. And you want to be able to eat with your friends in the university and be part of that dining program. So it's getting better. I've lived the lifestyle now for 20 years, and it's improved dramatically. You also have to be a detective, and if you feel a little awkward going out and talking about your need for a gluten-free diet, you can always call the establishment in advance and you know, tell them, you know, what you need. But all I can say is we're making baby steps, and maybe we're even making more of giant steps towards ensuring that you'll be able to eat out safely. But it's all about supply and demand, and we have a lot of supply of gluten-free products in the supermarkets. So hopefully those gluten-free products are getting into the convenience stores. The, you know, the airports are typically places you know, it's hard to find gluten-free food. And there are many people that are eating gluten-free products just because they want to cut wheat out of their diet. And so your life should be getting better. And I hope that what I would say to encourage you is to focus on the foods that you can have. So instead of thinking about all the things that you can't have, think about all the things that are naturally gluten-free, so that are rice-based products. A lot of times, other ethnic foods are naturally gluten-free. So Indian food is naturally gluten-free, a lot of it because it's garbanzo bean-based, or some of the Mexican food is making sure that it's 100% corn-based. You can have the Mexican food or rice-based as long as you have gluten-free soy sauce. So focus on things that you can have and potentially foods that are naturally gluten-free.
I mentioned when we started that, well, we wanted to do a program on celiac disease just because there are so many people who are finding out that they are gluten intolerant. But there was also this article on the Daily Beast this week that said that perhaps some people are on gluten-free diets for the wrong reasons, that maybe this is even masking eating disorders, or they want to have some sort of socially acceptable way of losing weight, so they go on a gluten-free diet even though they don't have celiac disease. Do you have any concerns about that?
Well, Joy, one of my medical advisory board members from the Mayo Clinic, his name is Dr. Joe Murray, made a comment about that because I decided to dig a little further into the issue, and he actually wrote a little, we have a staff blog and he talks about it on our staff blog. And it's when people or patients undertake multiple food avoidances, such as, going on a gluten-free diet, and masking it with an eating disorder, it has a name. It's called orthorexia. And that means that people are avoiding foods without a clear reason why. And it can lead to severe malnutrition. And he says that these occurrences are pretty rare, but nonetheless, they are very important.
Yeah, Judith on Facebook asks, are there any pros and cons for people who don't need the diet but do it anyway? Is it a problem if I don't have celiac disease if I decide to go on a gluten-free diet?
It's not really a problem, you know, except for if you heard the other caller said, you know, it's more costly. So the products are typically more costly. Also, some of the products are not fortified, like they're gluten-containing counterparts. So it's important that you make sure that you're getting all the nutrients that that are the fortification and the nutrients. And it's really important, most of all, to shop the perimeter of the supermarket. So whether you have celiac disease or not, making sure that you eat all those fruits and vegetables and foods that are healthy for you and that are gluten-free by design are the best foods for all of us to be eating. It'll keep you trim, and it'll also keep you as healthy as possible.
Let's go back to the phones. Ty in Manitowoc is with us. Hello, Ty.
Hi, how are you today?
Very good. Your wife has celiac disease.
She does. We just actually found out about it about 2 months ago. She's predisposed a little bit to colorectal cancer due to her mother passing it away at a young age as a result. And so went in for her screening, and they did the blood blood test. It came back positive, so they also did the endoscopy and found celiac in her small intestines. I remember when she found out, she called me kind of crying and upset and really sad about this thought that, okay, now I'm not going to be able to eat bread anymore, and this is going to impact our life. But she's kind of taken a different turn and created a blog called the FunnyTummyCafe.com, where she's posting both gluten-free and allergenic sensitive people type recipes, and pretty neat. So
I think we're going to get some calls asking for that blog again. What was the name of it?
FunnyTummyCafe.com.
FunnyTummyCafe. Okay.
Yep. So no spaces, no dashes, anything, just FunnyTummyCafe.
When is she coming up with some good recipes, Ty? Are you taking part in these recipes?
The entire family is now gluten-free as long as we're in the home. If we go out to McDonald's or something like that, the kids may grab a cheeseburger, but other than that, we eat what she eats because the doctor said she's so sensitive to it, even wheat particles in the air could affect her.
Wow.
So we've all kind of jumped on board, and it's interesting that we really haven't noticed much of a difference other than the fact that we just don't have bread.
Yeah. So it hasn't been too difficult for
you.
No.
And the other part about it is it's interesting, you know, they've got a lot of gluten-free products out there, but I think people get under the false impression that I have to buy something that says it's gluten-free, when in actuality, in just normal foods, you can find foods that are gluten-free as you focus on proteins, fruits, vegetables, and beans and legumes, other types of products that just naturally are gluten-free. And it really keeps it pretty simple. It's just a matter of mixing the right things to make it taste good.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Ty, for sharing that story, and good luck to you and your wife.
Maybe. And Ty, make sure your family, your entire family, gets tested. All, you know, your kids, you mentioned you had children. Make sure that even if they don't have symptoms, your entire family should get tested for celiac disease. It
yep.
should be part of the protocol.
And we've already been in contact with the pediatrician to make sure that happens in the near future.
All right. Thank you very
much. Wonderful. And congratulations. I'm glad your wife is embracing the gluten-free diet and really, you know, helping to make everybody's quality of life better by providing, you know, amazing recipes. I'll check out the blog myself.
Oh, I just saw a photo that's on the Funny Tummy Cafe blog of Ty and his family. Beautiful family, Ty. And
maybe we should,
do you mind if we'll link that to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page so people can take a look at the recipes? Is that okay?
Wonderful. I'd appreciate that. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot. Well, I guess it's good to have family support, obviously, is very important, but it sounds like Ty's wife also is making the best of it by you know, coming up with these recipes and people help, you know, sort of support on the internet.
Yeah, it's really wonderful, Joy. I know we have, you know, on our website, you know, there are blogs, the recipes are actually the most visited part of the website because people are looking for recipes on a daily basis. And we also have, a Twitter feed and a Facebook feed and everything that, social media, and it really helps because people can share information. They can share recipes. We also do taste testing of products, and we rate the products. So before people go to the supermarket and buy a product, they can see what other people said about the product to see if it, before they spend the money on, to see if, whether or not other folks liked the product.
Yeah, and we do have a link as well, Alice, to your website on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So please do, everyone, check that out and join us with any questions you might have about celiac disease or adopting a gluten-free diet. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Checking the weather forecast for today, heavy snow, windy at times. Most of Wisconsin is under winter storm warnings and advisories, so please do take care. Coming up on the Ideas Network, it's our Wednesday big question debate. We'll have two guests coming from different viewpoints on immigration reform. President Obama released his plans, calling for a pathway to citizenship for those already in the country illegally yesterday. A day earlier, a bipartisan group of U.S. senators unveiled their proposal to tackle comprehensive immigration reform. We will talk about which approach is better to handle this issue. That's coming up after 7 o'clock. For the rest of this hour, we are talking with Alice Bast, who is founder and president of the National Foundation for Celiac Awareness. And we're welcoming your questions about celiac disease and your experiences with it, or your experiences with a gluten-free diet or a gluten allergy or sensitivity. Our next caller is Scott in Iron River. Hello, Scott.
Good morning. I have another diagnosis question. I was dealing with some symptoms for about a year and was in various appointments, had various tests done, and a doctor, and nothing was really said about celiac disease. And then a doctor finally pointed out that, well, there's some elevated levels on one of your tests, and showing, the possibility, and then immediately put me on a gluten-free diet, and that's been about 6 weeks now. And I've been very diligent about it and kind of embraced it and have noticed a difference in energy level and stamina and all this. And so I'm continuing on, but now I'm hearing that to get a true diagnosis, I should have had the biopsy as well, and I'm a little dismayed now that I haven't, and just wondering about what you're thinking about the implications there. And I'm not due to go back to see the doctor until the end of March, but if you could just comment on that, I'd really appreciate it.
Sure. Well, for a definitive diagnosis, the protocol is to get the blood test. And once your blood test shows a positive, then it's recommended that you do go on and get the biopsy of the lining of the small intestine and then to start the gluten-free diet. And if your symptoms alleviate, you have celiac disease. Now, there are some people who, especially some parents of children, who don't want their child to get the biopsy. So because the specificity and the sensitivity of the blood tests are so accurate, they choose not to have the small bowel biopsy. But it is the standard of care to get it. If you indeed have the elevated, antibodies, and you've been on you're on a gluten-free diet, and you feel that you're feeling much better, and you're going to stick with that diet 100%, then you have your answer. If you feel that you need to get that small bowel biopsy, you should talk to your doctor about that and what to do. They're going to want you to go on a gluten challenge in order to do that. But I would follow up with your doctor if you do have any questions. The other thing that you should be looking at as a newly diagnosed patient is ensuring that you don't have other nutrient deficiencies. So vitamin B, vitamin D, even getting a DEXA scan done to make sure your bone density is okay. Those are some of the recommended tests for those who are newly diagnosed with celiac disease.
Thank you, Scott, for the call. Margo in River Falls emails, are there any other countries with as high a rate of celiac disease as we have here in the United States?
Margo, that's a great question. There are countries with higher rates of celiac disease. It's a kind of an equal opportunity disease, unless it's a culture that's eating, you know, mostly rice and very little wheat. But it is an international disease. You know, Italy, Ireland, you name it. Northern Africa. There are, you know, it's pretty much about 1 in 140 people have celiac disease.
So it's a genetic autoimmune, but I'm curious because we've heard from some men and some women who have it. Is there a typical person who has celiac disease?
Well, there is not a typical person, and that's a great point, Joy, because guess what? It used to be that doctors looked for kids that had kind of big bellies and looked like they were malnourished. The average age of diagnosis right now is 46 years old, and more women than men are diagnosed with celiac disease, and more women typically have, you know, autoimmune diseases. But we also know that men don't go to the doctor as frequently. Mm-hmm. So that is the pattern.
Jim in Libertyville, Illinois, emails, is it possible for a person in his 80s to develop celiac disease?
Oh, Jim, it is possible. And guess what? We actually have a brochure and information on our website all about that. Again, it's celiaccentral.org. There are people in their 70s and 80s that may have had it for a while but not realized it, and the symptoms have just become so severe that they get diagnosed. And you will feel better once you're diagnosed and on a gluten-free diet. Your health will improve at any age.
We have Lisa in Middleton with us now. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, thanks for calling.
You're welcome. I have a call. I was tested for celiac, a blood test, and the doctor just said it was normal, but I have all these symptoms, you know, the numbness, the tingling, irritable bowel syndrome, you know, all those things. And I guess I'm wondering, you know, is there something else that could be going on, or sensitivity, or, you know, what might be going on there?
So she had the test that said no, but I mean, Alice, are those tests pretty accurate?
Sure, the tests are pretty accurate. But again, you know, so celiac disease is 1% of the population. So that's about, you know, 1 in 141 people. But there is this other percent of the population, and we're not 100% sure of the numbers. It's about 6% of the population. So it's actually a bigger number that have something called non-celiac gluten sensitivity, that you can have the same symptoms, but yet you will not test positive on your blood test. And when you go on a gluten-free diet, your symptoms do go away. So the protocol is to rule out celiac disease, rule out, you know, wheat allergies, and rule out other digestive, you know, like Crohn's and colitis, and then put the patient on a gluten-free diet and see if they feel better. And if they do, the symptoms alleviate, then you are non-celiac gluten sensitive. And again, we do have information on the website at celiaccentral.org, so you can talk to your doctor about non-celiac gluten sensitivity.
So if anybody out there is feeling bloated or has some of these symptoms that we've talked about all hour, should we ask our doctors to give us the blood test?
Yeah, you should ask your doctor to test you for celiac disease. It's one of the most common autoimmune diseases and one of the most underdiagnosed. It gets overlooked. And, you know, the first step is a simple blood test.
And we shouldn't fret that we're going to be really having a difficult time following the gluten-free diet if we are diagnosed with celiac disease?
No, fretting is not good for anybody, Joy, but it's also, you know, it's gotten so much easier. And just think about it, you know, you don't want to end up with long-term health consequences. You don't want to end up with, you know, with cancer or with, you know, real serious problems or osteoporosis. So there's gluten-free food available, and it's getting way more affordable. So you shouldn't fret. You know, ask your doctor to test you.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me today.
Alice Bast is founder and president of the National Foundation for Celiac Awareness. Her website is linked to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.